Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Glad to see all of you here. Glad that you have joined us online today. We are wrapping up a series on a topic that, according to statistics, just about every single person in this room, about every single person watching online, deals with on a daily basis: social media. For the last 4 weeks, wrapping up the series today, we've been talking about social media. We've been asking a very specific question. This is what we've been asking. When it comes to social media, am I bringing my influence to it, or am I being influenced by it? Because one of those two things is happening every single time we engage on any of the platforms that we go on and try to connect and try to find information and try to disseminate some of our views into the world. Now, if today's your first time, if you've missed any of our series, man, I'm going to highly encourage you, grab our app. If you don't have it already, go back and catch up, because we have covered a ton of content as we've all tried to answer this question, as we've all tried to answer the question of, when it comes to social media, am I bringing my influence to it? Or am I being influenced by it? Because make no mistake, the goal of social media is to influence you. As we talked about week one, social media is run by corporations. And the corporation's job, like all corporations in America, the job is to make money. And the way corporations make money in social media is not by making you feel good, it's not by sharing information, it's by keeping you on the platform. Because then they can sell your eyeballs and they can sell your influence to companies. And again, nothing wrong with that, but it helps to understand that we're engaging with platforms that are actively trying to keep us engaged. There are also some pitfalls to the platform of social media, as we talked about week two. Social media is not set up for healthy dialogue. It is not set up for actual communication. Now, we can bring that to the platform, but we have to actually try to do it. Week three, we talked about why it was so important that we understood these pitfalls and we understood the difficulties of the platform. It's because no matter who we are, we should understand what's going on and maybe why it's affecting our mood and why it's affecting our ability to communicate with people. But if you consider yourself a Christ follower, it matters even more, because we have a message to share, the message of Jesus. We call it the gospel. We call it the good news. It changed our life, and in turn, he's asked us to share that message with the world. There's never been a better platform given to humanity than social media to spread that message. So it's really, really important we understand what's going on, and it's really, really important that we take the time to understand the pitfalls so that we can spread our message well. How do we do that? That's what we started talking about last week, because we turned to Jesus' little brother, a man named James, who said, hey guys, when you have this influence, when you're going on platforms, when you're trying to talk about these things, be careful. You say, James, why should we be careful? And he says, because we all make mistakes. Because you lose your temper and I lose my temper, and we all can lose our temper at times. And so we take that 2,000 years into the future when we're dealing with this platform that is written in ink forever for all the world to see. When we know it's set up to kind of manipulate us, when we know it's not set up for healthy dialogue, and if you consider yourself a Christ follower, when you know you're bringing to it this message that can change the world. James just said last week, hey guys, be careful with that platform. In fact, here's what he says. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And he explained why last week. Because we will not always get it right. Sometimes we'll slip up. We can't always tame our tongue. So last week, we all agreed together that what we were going to try for the past week as we engaged on social media was this. We were going to try to pause before we post. Just pause for a second. Just pause and think about the ramifications of what you're going to write. Think about the ramifications of what you're going to share. The ramifications of what you're going to like. The ramifications of what you're going to snap. The ramifications of what you're going to TikTok. The ramifications of what you're going to DM. Just stop and pause for one moment. And that's where we left it. Last week, I just challenged you. Go home and just look at your social media and see if you give yourself the space to pause. Ask God to maybe bring to mind some times you wish you would pause. And today, as we wrap up the series, I want to return to James again, return to chapter 3, because James is going to now reveal to us what we should do while we pause. And what we should do is look for something that we all need in our lives, that we talk about a lot here at Wellspring, because it truly can make all the difference when it comes to the decisions I'm trying to make and you're trying to make and we're all trying to make. Because what we need to search for while we pause is this: wisdom. Wisdom is something we talk about a lot here at Wellspring. In fact, if you were around this spring, we did a series where we talked about wisdom in connection to COVID. And the reason we talked about wisdom in connection to COVID was this: because wisdom gives us the ability to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. That's what God's wisdom does. When we build our life on Him and on what He wants and His decisions, we have the confidence to step certainly in the face of adversity and in the face of uncertainty, in the face when there's lack of clarity. Wisdom gives us that certainty because we can trust in Jesus. And so for this series, for today, as we're wrapping up social media, I want to point out what else wisdom gives us. Not only does it give us the ability to step confidently, wisdom can give us the ability to post confidently in the face of uncertainty. It can give us the confidence to like, the confidence to share, the confidence to snap, the confidence to DM, the confidence to TikTok, which probably means don't TikTok. I don't even know what TikTok is. That's how old I am. Like, you make music videos, right? Isn't that what you do? I guess. I don't know. Y'all don't know either. I can tell you're all like, I don't know. They know online, though. They're, put it in the comment section. Tell me what TikTok is. What wisdom does is wisdom gives us a map. Wisdom gives us rails. Wisdom gives us a track to run on. And the amazing thing about God's wisdom is that it is so crystal clear. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because here's the great news about wisdom. Here's what James says at the beginning of his letter about wisdom. He says, look, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He wants to freely give this wisdom. And as we talk about wisdom, we have to go back to the very first week of this series and remember where we talked about the fact that God, specifically for His church, has given gifts, has given special things to equip those of us that call ourselves Christ followers to live the life He wants us to live. And those gifts include His Son, they include His Word, the story of Jesus' life, the four biographies of Jesus' life, the letters written by men who helped to begin the church. Those gifts include His Holy Spirit that can coach us as we walk through life. Those gifts include His church. And the ability to gather together and to sing and to learn. And so the reason we're talking about this is, again, it's because social media is such a ubiquitous thing. Everybody has it. And we're all just walking along. And I believe it is the biggest opportunity we've ever had to change the world in our lifetime. This is it. And so we need to apply some wisdom to it. And God says, I've got it. I want to give you that wisdom. So last week, we paused before we posted, and this week, the goal is to invite the wisdom of Jesus into our social media, into our posting, so that the message that has changed our lives can begin to change the lives of our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers. And oh, by the way, even if you don't believe in Jesus, pausing and trying to inject wisdom into your social media will be beneficial to every single person listening. So, how do we do that? How do we find wisdom? How do we recognize wisdom? How do we know what wisdom means when it comes to social media? Great questions. And to answer those, I want to go right back to where we left off last week. If you were here, we were in James chapter 3, where James spent the whole first half of the chapter trying to convince us to keep our mouths shut. Just pause for a moment, because we can't tame our tongues, because if we're not careful, things are going to slip out, things we wish we hadn't said, things we're going to regret. Just pause. And now he's going to flip it. And he's going to say, okay, while you're pausing, let's inject some wisdom into the situation. And the best way to know what the wise choice is to know how to recognize wisdom itself. to be able to identify wisdom as opposed to other emotions. And so that's how James begins this section with a contrast. And what I would invite you to do if you are on social media is apply this to your social media moving backwards, either in your mind right now or later on this week. You can go back and look over your posts, look over your shares, look over your likes and say, okay, when James described wisdom, is that what I see? Or do I see this other thing James described? Because the best way to move forward is to understand what's happened before and then to change course. And I believe we can all do that as we pause, because we've learned how to pause, and we begin to apply his wisdom to our social media. So if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Here's what James says. He says, look, if you're wise and you understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. He's basically saying, look, if you are going to build your life on God's wisdom, and if you want to know if you are making wise choices, if you want to know, then this is what it would look like. It would be honorable. It would be good. It will be filled with humility. So the question would be, when it comes to my social media account and your social media account right now, when you go look at it, if you want to say, hey, has this been wise? You can say, well, is it honorable? Are there good things represented here? Is it filled with humility? And if it is, keep it up, man. You're doing great. But I've seen some of your accounts, and it's not. In fact, James says, well, when you look at that, if you don't recognize that, maybe what you would see is this. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Ouch! How did James know? How did he know 2,000 years later there would be this platform where we would just go and just be jealous and selfish all the time? See, what he's saying is, he's saying, look, if you want to get this right, you have to be able to recognize the true motives behind what you're doing. Because all of us at times can excuse trying to hide selfishness, trying to hide jealousy in a public platform, specifically right now in the terms of social media. We've all done that. We all do that. But here's the problem with that. The only person fooled by that is the person making the post, the person putting that into the world. And that's what James is saying. James is saying everybody notices. You know what the rest of us call that? And even when we do it ourselves, but what we call it when someone else does it, there's a word for it. We call it a humble brag. You guys familiar with the humble brag? Here's the definition of a humble brag. By the way, it is actually defined in the Oxford Dictionary now. That is how far we've gotten with this. Humble brag means an ostensibly modest or self-deprecating statement whose actual purpose is to draw attention to something of which one is proud. Let me give you some examples I wrote down of humble brags. Here's the first one. I had such a hard time this morning deciding which car to drive to work. I have so many, and I love them all. Yeah. This is another one. Even without makeup, with a baseball hat on and sweats, guys still hit on me. I just want to buy some bread. Yeah, no one's fooled by that. No one is fooled by that except for the person making the post. And so what James is saying is, he's saying, hey, we're going to pause. And we've got to learn to recognize wisdom, but that's going to take some being honest with ourselves. It's going to take stepping back and looking and saying, oh, okay, when I wrote that, when I shared that, what was that in an effort to be honorable, or was I trying to remind someone of the time they made fun of me for something and ha, 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 I told you I was right? Selfishness. Was I posting about an event I got to because I was jealous because someone else was having an event I wasn't invited to? He's saying, hey, just ask my father and ask my big brother to help you recognize that. You know, turn to your Heavenly Father, help them recognize when it happens. because, he keeps going, because jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Now, that seems so simple to say, right? But that is a universal truth, that jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. So when you are doing something out of jealousy or selfishness, you can be certain 100% of the time it is not the wise thing to do. He keeps going. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Jealousy and selfishness equals disorder. If that doesn't describe Facebook, I don't know what does. Jealousy and selfishness bring disorder. Let's bring this down. If every time you post on social media, the comment section is filled with disorder, you might be bringing jealousy and selfishness to the platform. And he's saying, look, you can do that. Just don't assume anyone is fooled by it. Just don't assume anyone sees anything other than what is actually happening. So he's like, hey, go back, look over, think about these things. Man, what do you recognize? Because if you want to be wise, if you want to bring wisdom, these are going to be the results. But if you're not, you're bringing selfishness and jealousy. Disorder will be the result. It's very clear. It's very plain to see. So pause before you post and evaluate. Man, what is typically the result of what I put out into the world? What typically happens when I share these things? What typically happens when I just speak my mind? What typically happens when I'm like, I got to get this off my chest? What typically happens? That's how we move backwards. Moving forward, he says, okay, so if you want to pause and you want to bring wisdom in, here is what wisdom looks like. He says, the wisdom from above, from our Heavenly Father, is first of all pure. Wisdom is pure. Of course, it's pure. It's from God. He begins to describe what that means. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. These three work together. Yield to others, sacrifice for others, doing what's best for others in a peaceful, gentle way. Taking collectively into mind what's going to be the best for all involved. He keeps going. He says, wisdom is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It's going to be good. It's going to be full of mercy, not like a little mercy, like so full of mercy that if you had a cup of mercy, it would like be spilling over. And if you don't know what mercy is when we don't give someone what they deserve. Mercy is when we choose to withhold retribution. Not really a quality of social media where we live to catch people, where we live to call people out, where we live to blow up their comments. You know, where we live to go find that one article that debunks what they said and drop it and like, bam, gotcha. Where we feel like we have to speak up. Every time someone says something negative about us, we want to fight back. But James is saying, well, hey, wisdom is full of mercy. It's full of not giving people what you think they deserve, but in fact, giving them something better. So if our social media wants to spread the message of Jesus, he's saying it should be full of mercy. But he's not done. He says it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Doesn't take sides. And it's always honest. It's always truthful. Now, we read this verse back in the spring, and when we did, I actually put a list together, and I want to show you that list of wisdom. Wisdom is going to be peaceful, gentle, sacrificial, merciful, helpful, consistent, and impartial, which means if you and I and all of us want to apply wisdom to our social media, you know what that means? Our social media pages, accounts, persona, profile, everything about our social media account should be filled with peace, should be gentle, should be sacrificial, always looking out for what's best for other people, should be merciful, full of mercy, should be helpful, consistent, and impartial. That is how we bring wisdom to this platform we've been given to communicate with more people, with more speed, than's ever been possible in human history. And all James says we have to do is ask our Heavenly Father, and He will give us this wisdom. He will fill us with this. And as He does, He will fill our pages and our likes and our shares and our DMs and our snaps and our TikToks. I don't know how you TikTok wisely, but I bet you can. And I know if you're like me, you look at this list, and you're like, man, that list is overwhelming. There's a lot of things there. That's a checklist. And right, that's why we stop. That's why James says, hey, slow down. But as I pointed out this spring, that list isn't just a list of qualities. This list is a list of character traits. Because what James is actually doing is he's describing his big brother. James is describing Jesus, because Jesus was peaceful and gentle and sacrificial and merciful and helpful and consistent and impartial. And so what I believe James was saying in chapter 3, and if James were here tonight, we're here now, how he would summarize all that for us as we try to move forward and engage in this platform that can change the world. The summation of chapter 3 would be this. The first half would have said, hey guys, I just wanted to get you to choose to pause before we post. Just pause. Just pause before we post. Just slow down. Just pause. And then here's what I want you to ask. I want you to ask a version of the question I learned when I was in middle school and high school. And if you had any church background, maybe you learned it as well. Maybe you even wore the little bracelets that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I believe James would amend that question just a bit for our conversation today. He would say, guys, just pause before you post and ask this question. What would Jesus post? WWJP. Because here's the deal. If you want to speak on his behalf, if you want to spread his message, you got to sound like him. And right now, in a world where our social media platform has more reach than anything you and I can actually do face-to-face, where more people are making more decisions about that specific persona of us, it has never been more important for all of us to apply wisdom to it. But specifically, for those of us that call ourselves Christians, for those of us that say we have been changed by the message of Jesus, to allow that message to speak through us. And there's no better question to ask than, okay, what would Jesus post? What would Jesus like? What would Jesus snap? What would Jesus DM? What would Jesus TikTok? What would Jesus TikTok? I would like to know that. Like, what song would you... We'll talk about that later. I would love to know what Jesus... I'm fascinated about TikTok. I wonder what Jesus would TikTok. I bet he would, though. He was a cool dude. I bet he would TikTok. Anyway. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment, and then we're done. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. I want you to imagine what would happen if every single person who shared on social media this weekend, can't wait to be in church, who shared a snap of a verse that they read this week, who has in their profile, Christ follower, I'm a Christian, love Jesus, something like that. If all of us who claimed in moments to follow Christ, if everything about our social media accounts began to speak with his voice, everything we said, everything we shared, everything we liked, if all of it just oozed Jesus, just oozed grace and mercy and gentleness and compassion and love and sacrifice, what would happen? See, I don't have to wonder, because 2,000 years ago, 11 men decided to try that out. And they laid down their professions and they laid down their opinions and they began to speak with Jesus' voice. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about them. So I bet, equipped with the greatest platform ever given to spread a message faster than it's ever been possible, that if we all chose to speak with Jesus' voice, if we all chose to pause and say, what would Jesus post in this moment? I bet he could use us to bring more people to himself. I bet, as we've been talking about all summer, if we continued or maybe chose to do good in that moment, I bet we would see a harvest of blessing. Now, I know you're asking a question. How do we do this? This is great. This is great in theory. How do we apply wisdom to social media? How do we actually, on a day-to-day basis, ask this question, what would Jesus post? I'm glad you asked. I had a conversation earlier this week with my wife, Danielle, with Eric and April Colquitt, about how to do just that. Check it out. All right, I'm here with Eric and April Colquitt and with my wife, Danielle. We're going to be answering some of these questions, and we're going to start very quickly. How do we apply what would Jesus post? How do we do that in our lives? Danny, how do you do that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, based on our lives, probably for us.
You don't not post a lot.
I do not post a lot. And I think it's because over the years, especially as we were raising middle schoolers, we did ask this question, what would Jesus post, which requires wisdom.
Yeah.
I love that's what you talked about in your message today, and that, you know, one of the questions we ask in our house when it pertains to wisdom, you taught me this question a long time ago. It's in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? And that's always a question we ask. I think it's very applicable to social media, to time on your phone in general. And so I think that that's a question when you're saying, what would Jesus post? Is it wise? Mm-hmm. Is this something that I need to be out into the world, that I want to articulate who I am forever or just in this moment? Mm-hmm. And that's a question that I've asked, which leads me not to post a lot.
Right.
Season.
I mean, let's talk about that question. Past experiences, mm-hmm. current circumstances, future hopes and dreams. Even asking the question requires you to pause.
Yeah.
This is a long question.
Yeah.
And when you go through that filter, right, I'm the same way. I don't post much on social media because past experiences, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, is this a wise thing to put into the world? The answer is usually no.
Yeah. If you've ever looked back at your old post, like, have you ever gone back through your old Instagram post from, like, several years and, like, why did I even say that? Right. What was the point?
Yeah.
One of the things that I think about is there's a verse that I love in Proverbs where he says, the writer says, too much talk leads to sin, so be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I think if he were writing that in 2020, he might say, too much posting leads to sin, so be sensible and keep your thumbs off the keypad or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's just some things that can be shared, but not everything needs to be shared. And typically, like, when I think about that verse is too much talk leads to sin, it can lead to sin in my own life, but it can also lead to sin in someone else's life. Mm. You know, like what I share and what I post can affect someone else to react or to do something in a way that maybe not be what's best or what's wise for them. And so when I think about it that way, that, you know, that makes me pause and think, is this something that is valuable to share or necessary to share?
Yeah. So common theme here, I don't post a lot either. And a lot of what you just said about I'm always thinking about other people when I'm thinking about posting. Like, how is this going to come across? Mm-hmm. What, even if I'm liking something, what am I liking? And what will others think about what I'm liking? Yeah. I might be overthinking a little bit, but it's really back to the whole wisdom thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make the wisest decision in that moment about what I'm putting out there. And so same thing what you guys are saying is just be careful what we're posting, what we're putting out there.
Because that requires wisdom. You said overthinking, but I would say, can we overthink something that is public to the entire world
forever?
Forever, yeah.
You know, like that's the way in which we think about it. And by the way, the verse, Proverbs 10:19.
Yes, I'm sure sorry,
people,
thank you. Yeah.
People could
you can
find
go look
that.
It up.
All right, so we're talking about applying what would Jesus post.
Yeah.
So let's get a little deeper here. What are some specific steps?
Yep.
You guys take, and I take, and I'll take to pause, to control social media influence in our lives, both what we post and what we receive from it. How do you pause?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
So one of the things on social media, when you're on there just a little bit, frequently you can come across things that make you angry, you know, and it makes you, you know, your blood boil. And for me, What I do is if I see something that makes me angry, instead of immediately wanting to fire something back, I just walk away from it. I just put it down. Because if I don't, I'm immediately going to want to, you know, make a point. And that's not what we're trying to do, what we shouldn't do. So that's the first thing that comes to mind is if you get angry when you're reading something on social media, just walk away. Put it down.
Well, that goes back to last week. I mean, James tells us human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. You know what that means? That means never.
Yeah.
That means it never produces what God would actually want in our lives. Now, Danny, you've actually, because you shared it with me, you read a book.
Yes, I did.
That has helped you a lot with this stuff.
And so one of the questions I learned is the book is called How to Break Up with Your Phone. I know we're talking specifically about social media, but one of the questions, I mean, it's a whole section on social media in here, obviously, because they're intertwined, but it is, what's the motivation? And this is an incredible resource. We can put it out there on social media this week. You can get it on Amazon, and it's a quick read. It's really a great tool. It's a great tool to have of how to use your phone, make your phone work for you and not you work for your phone. Mm. But the motivation part, if you're a Christ follower, taking a moment, asking that question, what's my motivation?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's good.
What? Take it to him. If your focus is on him before you're posting, more than likely what you're going to end up posting is something Jesus would post. And that pause is what allows you to assess that before you put it out into the world. It takes your focus off of you. It reminds you of the message that you do have, what your life does represent. And that all comes down to the motivation and the pause and the bringing him into that moment.
April, I think this was your idea. Because one of the steps I have here is to read what you've written out loud.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Because I think when we write things or we have a thought, it sounds one way in our head. Mm-hmm. And when it's actually said out loud, you hear how it sounds to other people. I mean, even just thinking about in conversations, sometimes you say something and as soon as you say it out loud, you're like, now I hear what I just said.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you've just put your foot in your mouth or said something that you wish you hadn't. And it's the same thing with our posting. I think if you have written out a post before you hit the actual post button or share button or whatever, just read it out loud and edit how it sounds. What is the tone of your voice when you read it out loud? Because that is likely how it's going to sound to other people. And you might just change a word or change the whole thing. And I've done that before and, you know, deleted everything I wrote and decided, never mind, I'm just not going to post anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I've just rephrased it. But I just think it's a helpful step to edit our thoughts out loud.
Well, you can even read it out loud to somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes that's more helpful than hearing your own self.
I happen to live with a very, very sensitive person. So even text, emails, I'd be like, hey, Danny, come here, I want to read this out loud. And I will. And she'll just be like, no.
Yeah.
No. We're going to start over with that one. And so it's helpful. So, all right. So another thing we talked about, Abby talked about healthy dialogue on social media. And so let's talk specifically about the comment section. Let's talk about the win or lose of trying to have a conversation in comments on your post, on someone else's post. How's that work for you?
It's a dangerous place. I would say often don't comment. Just don't comment. You know, hit a like button if it's something that you like, maybe. But per Abby's, you know, message for us a couple of weeks ago, it's commenting on social media is not really the place for healthy dialogue.
Right.
It's just, it can be taken so many ways. And I think Eric had even said this, it's like, you're not just having a conversation with that one person who posted it. It's hundreds of people potentially.
Right. Like if you were having a close, serious conversation with your friend or even a stranger, you don't want that all over the internet. You don't want that all over the world.
Right.
You don't want everybody to hear those things. So, yeah, that's why, I mean, I loved what Abby was saying a couple of weeks ago, because it's all about healthy dialogue.
Yeah.
And you just can't have healthy dialogue on social media, because you are talking with someone else and then everybody comes in and then it just goes in 10 different directions.
Yeah.
And then you don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I've read something on somebody's social media recently. I think I actually reposted it. But it was intended for people who have like teenagers, and it's, you know, what do you do when you're having a difficult moment with your 13-year-old? And one of the steps was come up with one-liners and then get away. So I just think that is so appropriate for social media. It's like, come up with one thing you could say and then leave the conversation.
Not in anger.
It could be thank you, or it could be that's great, or praying for you, or whatever it is. But I don't think we have to feel the need to always engage in conversation, per se.
I agree. All right. So we're talking about pausing. Last week, you know, I kind of challenged people 10, 20, 30 minutes. What do you guys think about really like having a, like a 30 minute rule, you know, especially if you're upset, but just giving yourself a kind of a cooling off period and a thinking period and a processing period before, again, I know it sounds silly, but before we write something in ink forever for all the world to see.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a wise thing to do, Danny.
It answers the wisdom question for sure. Yeah. And especially when you're talking about this part of the like in the comments, where it's the dialogue part, again, going back to that, when you even mentioned the word comment, I don't enjoy tension anyway in life. And I immediately, my heart started pounding just the thought of it. Because you can't control tone. You can't control all of that. You can't control what's on the other side. And most of the time, especially if you are a busy person, pausing 30 minutes, you forget to even go back. You've moved on to something else. Whereas it could be a distraction for you if you had commented and created this unhealthy dialogue that wasn't going to go anywhere, and you've wasted 2 hours of your time, you've damaged a relationship, and you could have been focusing on something that was moving forward and not stuck there. And I think that that's... but that's important to note for that.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about how we do this in our lives, and we've talked, and it's difficult enough to do it in our own lives. But all of us have been given the privilege by God of raising other humans that have our last name. And they have come of age to be on social media as well. I know there are some parents out there that they want to know more. Okay, how do I help my teenager navigate social media? So, Eric, I'll start with you.
It's great.
What do you suggest? What can we offer to parents? Say, hey, here's a roadmap. Here's a way to navigate this.
It's a great question because, like you said, it's difficult enough for us to manage this. So one of the things that I heard recently or I read recently was that as we think about helping our teenagers with social media or even technology, we should think about it similar to training them to drive. What do we do when we're training our teenagers to drive? We haven't gotten there yet, but we know it's coming. But you spend time. You sit in the car with them, brake a little easier, don't turn so sharp. You take a lot of time helping them know how to drive because it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. A lot of things can go wrong if you don't know how to operate that car. So this in the same way with technology, and specifically social media, I think we have to spend some time helping our kids, our teenagers, know how to use this very important device and mechanism with social media. So one thing that you could consider, and maybe you can talk about this a little bit, is choose one platform that that you would like for them to try and let them just try it out for a little bit and walk with them with that. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that looks like, but just try one platform and let them see if it works.
We've done that with our kids. You know, in the same way as adults that this is hard to navigate for us, teenagers, preteens, their brains are still developing. Yep. And it is, even though they might feel ready to maneuver all of the things with social media, really developmentally, they're just not. And so for us to unleash them with a device and social media is a huge responsibility, and it's a huge burden that they may not even realize the weight of until they've experienced some consequences with it. So I just feel like, you know, a wise thing that we can do with our children in the same way that we do with anything else is give them a little bit at a time. You know, we have expectations for them when they're preschoolers. We set larger expectations for them as they get into grade school and then middle school and high school. And I think when it comes to social media, we can do the same thing. It's like, here's one platform. I'm going to have a close check on it. So like with us, with Instagram, with our 14-year-old, she's connected to my account. I can go and look at it. She has, you know, I can see who she's following. I can see who's requesting to follow her. And we just recently let our son Sam just have Twitter. Like, that's it, which sounds so silly, but it's pretty safe in that he just wants to follow sports and news. Like, that's it. And so just think of your child and knowing how they are and kind of what their personality is and how they operate. And you have to sort of set some appropriate boundaries for them in that.
So you said something that's very important. It's about access.
Yeah.
Make sure as you're letting your student, you're letting your kids try out social media, make sure you have access to those platforms. Mm-hmm. And that can be by friending them. That can be, like you said, on Instagram, having their account on your phone.
Yep.
I think another thing that we have to remember in this age is the fake accounts that are out there, spam accounts or the Finsta accounts. And there's really not a good way to monitor those other than having conversations.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what's going on? Do you have another account? You know, you just have to have you have to talk about it, just like in the same way you would about any other thing that's going on in their life.
Well, you blew my mind a minute ago. I want to go back to it because comparing social media to driving a car, I think it really helped me because we do have a 15-year-old and he is driving.
You're doing it.
And
it's so scary.
Yeah. Same.
I hope maybe that it clicks for people because we don't treat them the same, but they really
they are.
You know, I would have never just have thrown David the keys.
Like, good luck, buddy.
Have fun. Yeah. I'll see you in a week, you know?
Because of the consequences.
Because of the consequences. Yeah. Exactly. He gets a beginner's permit where he can only drive in the car with us, and we are completely hands-on. And once he's done that for a while, he'll take driver's ed, and then he'll take another test.
Yeah.
And then he'll get a little more freedom. And parents, I'm just saying, we can think about social media like that. And I love what you said about access. You know, there is no such thing as privacy in my house.
Right.
You want privacy, move out.
Yep.
You know, when you're in under our roof, you know, she's got every password, we're reading every text. We're you know, it's happening. And the same is true on social media. And I love that because then it does give you the opportunity, especially at this age, to have those coaching conversations.
Yep.
You know, hey, do you think this was a wise thing to post? And let them answer and have conversations and don't just, you know, it's like with driving. You know, I found that the more I yell while he's driving, the less productive the lesson is, you know?
Yeah.
And so having those, hey, what did you do wrong? What did this happen? I love that picture. I really do.
And I think that the key point that, from that too is the consequences. We take so much time with him in the car because we know the consequences. We haven't really, unless you really dig in, you don't think about the consequences, but I'm telling you, the consequences are your child's mental health. The access they have to the world, it is going to affect their mental health, their identity. They're going to start asking questions, and if we just throw that all at them at the same time, it's so overwhelming. That's what happened. Our children actually don't have social media, but that's their choice. They don't see us on it a lot, and so they aren't really dying to get on it. But we had a child who tried it, and his mental health was worse. And because we had that dialogue with him, we were able to point that out because there are consequences that are related to that. And we've seen that in teens.
For sure. The amount of self-esteem issues, the anxiety, the depression that stems directly from social media is crazy. I read a study since 2009, 2010, when kind of social media started to take off, just among teenage girls, older teenage girls, the suicide rate has risen 70%. And among preteen girls, it has risen 151%. Now, those are terrifying statistics.
Yeah.
Not all of it is because of social media, but there is a clear correlation between the two. And so we just have to realize that, you know, a lot of times teenagers, their self-worth gets wrapped up in how many likes they get. And so we just have to have, as their parents, we have to be able to have good conversation around that and just to be honest with what's going on.
Yeah, and I would also add to that, like, assume nothing. You know, we, as parents, we want to say, well, my child would never.
Right.
You know, my kid, I know, wouldn't. And we just don't know that until we have conversations. You said that, but, like, asking them things like, hey, how did it make you feel when you saw so-and-so post that? is there a better way that could have been said that would make you feel differently? Mm-hmm. And not in a way to help them judge people, but in a way to help them be self-reflective on how their post are influencing other people, I think is really important. I mentioned a moment ago about developmentally where kids are going. And so I think when it comes to social media, what we see with middle schoolers and high schoolers is they're seeking questions like, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Do I matter? And if we unleash that on them alone without, that's why we see some of those anxiety and depression rates going up, is because they're seeking that validation. They're seeking value in things that maybe aren't even real and that aren't true. And so it affects how they see themselves.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much. A lot to talk about. Hopefully we've at least given you some thoughts and things to talk about this week. And really talk about for the next few months and years, because as we've been saying this entire time, we love social media. We think it is an amazing gift that God's given us to share his message. It's a great opportunity to connect with people, but there's some pitfalls. And we believe our Heavenly Father wants to give us a path to be able to spread his message throughout the world. So this week, here's what you can ask in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams. Is this a wise thing to post?